Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 120, part 1, A Love Better Than Wine. Today is Friday, November 6th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue, in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join our online community. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And in the show notes, you're going to find scripture links to those scriptures that Pastor Paul uses within his message. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for part one and part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. Have a great month of November, starting it off on All Saints Day, November 1st. These are the messages that you will hear this month on Pastor Paul's podcast. A love better than wine. Our instincts need purifying. Old things and new things. And old and new side by side. So there you have it. The month of November will prove to be the best yet. God bless you and have a great month.
So today's message is about a love better than wine. Don't you hear a lot of talk about love now, don't you? So easy to say. L-O-V-E, I love you. You write poems about love. Let me count the ways and all that kind of thing. We sing love songs. Oh, we sing them. We sign our letters with love, so-and-so. We love this and oh, we just love that. And oh, we go on and on and on. We sing love makes the world go round. Love makes the world go round. Love makes the world go round. And we're all these songs about love. And so today let's look in on Song of Solomon 1 and 2, and thy love is better than wine. Whew. The scriptural emblem of wine, which is intended to be the symbol of the richest earthly joy, has become so desecrated in the process of time by the sin of man. It's created drunks. It's driven man mad. It's caused murders and it's caused crime of every description. Because man nowadays is not content with the wine God makes, but he manufactures some of his very own. Then he can only partake of so much and he's drunk. So we have a wine love, and then we have a God love, and talking about the new wine of the Spirit. Sometimes when you have the new wine of the Spirit, you look like you are inebriated. You look like you are drunk. You can't walk straight, and you can't talk straight. You start to talk in other languages because you run out of love words to God, and that's what speaking in tongues is all about. You can't express yourself, and so there's a welling up on the inside, and you just want to tell God somehow, and your spirit takes over. Flesh can't do anything. You just start to sing in other tongues. All of a sudden, you get a release in your system. First of all, today I'll try to show you that Christ's love is better than wine because of what it is not. And secondly, that it is better than wine because of what it is. And thirdly, we shall look at Christ's love in the plural. Thy loves, it says in the original. Thy loves are better than wine. Well, don't you have loves? You love your mother, and you love your father, and you love your kids, and you love your wife, and you love your husband, and you love your pastor, of course. You hear that on the radio, on tape? Don't you love your pastor? Chew on that one a while. He's wondering what I'm doing. I'm talking to a radio audience right here by faith. And you know something? By doing that, I'm getting the strangest phone calls. Did you talk to so-and-so? Did they call you on the phone? Did you know something? No, I don't know you from nothing. Ooh, are you hearing this today? But lastly, then, we shall return to the first version and see Christ's love in the singular. You say, why are we doing that? Because, you see, Christ, even when it is described in the plural, is always one. Even in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Are you hearing this today? Don't get wrapped up in eating gumballs back there, please. But even though there are many forms of it, it is evermore the very same love. There's a song that calls it rich and full and free. And so today, firstly, let me prove Christ's love is better than wine because of what it is not. Because first, it may be taken without question. There will always be a question and an argument about wine. I, for one, am not going to argue about wine anymore. I'm just going to tell people to lay down under the spigot and have at it. Stay out of the way. That's your thing. To argue whether you can have a glass of wine or not. Well, have at it. Now, that will turn some people and say, I don't want to have at it. See, because they're rebellious the other way. Some will say, leave it alone, and you are the wisest. Because the Bible says, if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. And how many are stumbling right now from alcohol? And Christians too, because they want to argue whether they can have a glass of wine or not. And they say, well, wine is an alcoholic beverage. I might as well have a martini or a double whiskey in a water wash. Maybe I can smoke a little pot. Might as well. I've gone that far, and Satan just takes him right back into the world again. How many are hearing this? That's happening all over. Some will say, drink it, for tomorrow you may die. Well, big deal. What's that got to do with anything? I could think of a whole lot of things I'd rather do if I knew I was going to die the next day, and one of them wouldn't be drinking wine. I'd be getting right with God, wouldn't you? And then we have those that say, drink it, but drink it in moderation. Have you ever told an alcoholic to drink in moderation? One drink is too many and 1,000 isn't enough. They lay that shot glass on their lip and they slug it in there. And they keep slugging till they turn all kind of yellow. Then you go up there and you see them things beeping up. Beep, 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 huh? Beep. That's it. But I think there will be no question, none whatsoever, I mean among the upright men, about partaking to the very fullest of the love of Christ. None of the godly will say abstain from it. It's too powerful, it's too potent. None of the godly will say use it moderately. But all the true Christians, let me tell you, will echo the words of the heavenly bridegroom himself and say, drink, yea, drink abundantly, my beloved. Have you drank of the love of God lately? I don't think this will ever be a question. Can you ever drink too much of the love of God? Many are the delights of the world, that's for sure. But I think they leave a lot to be desired. And I think a lot of them are very questionable. Well, do you think it's all right to do this? And I mean, in that people have to question it tells me there is a doubt. And where there is a doubt, then it is wrong. Isn't that right? Well, what do you think? And they want to lay a trip on you, see. So they lay that on you and they ask this evil question. They say, Pastor Paul, what do you think of this? Then you answer the question and then they magnify the answer you gave to someone else, but they don't say that you answered their question. They just say that this is what Pastor Paul said. How many are hearing this? But will it ever be a question, can you have too much of the love of God? Well, I'd say if there was any doubt for a Christian to move out, that's for sure. We have no doubts about Jesus. We have no doubts about his love. I doubt it not. And so you see today, in always, his love is better than wine. Also, Christ's love is better than wine because it is to be had without money. It doesn't cost you anything. I told a friend of mine recently who went out and drank himself sick. I mean rotten melon-headed sick. I mean gray jaws hanging down sick. I mean bags under his eyes, trunks under his eyes, sick. I mean the heebie-jeebies sick. I mean the toilet bowl syndrome sick. I mean the popped out veins and the cold sweat. You look in the mirror and you're looking at a demon. Sick. And I said, just look what you paid for. Your first love has made you sick. Too much of a good thing, or what would you call it? And it's made you limp and yellow like a rag. Well, you say, do you talk to people like that? Yeah. But you're never going to hear me do it. That's a special type of ministry. Say amen, somebody. See, telling the truth is a special kind of ministry nowadays, isn't it? But I went on and I said, but if Christ was your first love, You could have had it for no cost whatsoever, and you would have been lifted up, and you wouldn't have missed out, and you wouldn't have lost your business. $1,500 to $2,000 a day you lost. What a cost involved over a little glass of wine. Well, then maybe someone got him started that could only have one glass of wine. They're carriers. They never get the disease. It is carried around, see. But then let's go on. The scripture says, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Whew. See, the love of Christ is unpurchased. I should say an ad. It is unpurchasable. You can't buy the love of God. You can't go up and say, give me $15 worth of God's love. Isn't that what we do sometimes when we give? I gave $1,000. Now God is really going to love me. We don't actually say that because we know better. But somewhere on the inner person, we think that we've bought some of God's love. Now, I'm not ministering to tightwads here. I mean, you know, go ahead and give largely. You know, a tightwad can always find an excuse for not giving. Do you know that? Wear the wrong pants, or they forgot their billfold, or, you know. What people ought to do is just say, let me see your shoes, and take their shoes off them. Say thank you, and throw them in the collection plate. Learn how to give. But you can't buy, it's not purchasable, you cannot buy Christ's love. It's free. Did you try to buy it because you did some kind of sin and you did penance and you walked on your knees for a week to church? Huh? I won't do it. You read, did you get reading the beads and you went over and over and over the beads and you said 14,000 Hail Marys? Won't do a thing. You can't buy it. And you can't work it out. It's free. Oh yeah, but I got a lot to work out. I have just fallen into all kinds of snares and traps. It's free. You want to get bound up? Try to buy the love of God. It's not to be purchased. Solomon says in the 8th chapter, if a man would give all of his substance, of all of his house for love, it would be nothing. Wait a minute. I got $10 billion. And I got houses, and I got cars, and I got businesses, and I got all these things. Now I'm going to give it to the church. Real good. You're still going to go to hell unless you know Jesus Christ and you can receive forgiveness. That's the way it is. How many are hearing this? You cannot buy Christ's love. You done something that you're sorry for? And so now you're going to do something to make it up? Well, that's all right. But don't think your making it up has one thing to do with the forgiveness of God, because it doesn't. You say you're sorry and make up with God and then go to work. Ooh. And I believe the same is to be said about Christ Jesus. His love comes freely, not because we deserve it. No. Or that we will ever deserve it. Oh, you deserve, a person told me, he says, Pastor Paul, you surely are going to get a lot of crowns when you get to heaven. I says, you don't know what goes on in my mind, what goes on in my heart. How do you know that? I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't boast of anything that I've done because God put the work in me and God's pushing the work out of me because a lot of times I don't want to do it. You don't always get up and preach and want to do it. Did you know that? You don't always feel like getting up and looking at all them faces out there. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Man, we got trouble. Trouble right down here in River City. Say amen, somebody. You know, we're dealing with people, and they got their little quirks, and their little designs, and their little plans, and back and forth, and in and out. And, you know, a pastor's got to be a fencing expert. Huh? And a good thing that they have rubber tips on the end of those things. Because it seems like we're always fencing with one another. And still the love of Christ is here. Hallelujah. Whatever the truth is, the truth will set you free. And the love of Christ is in it. And so His love comes freely, not because we deserve it. Not because of some kind of a merit system. It's two people sweeping the floor, and one says, oh, I got a bigger broom, and I know how to sweep better. Oh, God, look at me, I'm way ahead. Ooh! Huh? Has nothing to do with it. Not one thing. Now, some will use this message as an excuse to go out and sin. Now, you got a problem. You better give that problem to God. You know what your problem is? Your body. Give your body to God. How many are hearing this? You know, and then when someone calls you up and says, can you do this or that? You say, sorry, I ain't got no body. Oh, I ain't got no body. Did you ever wish you didn't have a body? I was wishing that the other day. I said, I wish I was invisible. I wish I didn't have no body. The Lord spoke to me and says, give it to me. Doesn't that cause us a lot of pain? Won't you be glad to get out of it? You're driving me crazy, and I'm talking about me. Did you ever drive yourself crazy? Well, don't look so dumb. Of course you have. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're so good. But not because you have won it. I've won your love. You don't win love from God. He wins you. He first loved you. He came down the ladder all the way down to you. See, you didn't have it. You had to get it. And there's only one way you can get it. That's because God gave it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should never perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, but I've heard that before. But hear it. Hear it. Maybe you're sitting in here today in the depths of despair or listening on the tape or to the radio. Hear that message. Or by any prayers of their own, they have not secured the love of God. Oh, I'm a prayer warrior, and I know, and that's fine. But if you think that through your prayer to God, that you're going to secure points, forget it. That's like somebody coming down and sitting next to you, and you know that they got different motives, and you know that they're trying to con you, right? Do you ever have your children con you and you say, "Oh, now what do you want?" "Mom, I love you." "I do." They come in, a little kid with a little grubby hand. They go to dandy, and they know how to get around you. An old dirty dandelion's all wilted over. "Oh, that's so cute. I just love you so much. Mom, can I have a dime?" "Oh, not a dime. It's $4 now." And that's on sale. That's a Tootsie Roll. But you can't con God. That's what I was before I was saved, a con artist. Now I found out you can't con God. God made all the cons too. Did you know that? Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the little cons of the world. Aren't we a bunch of little cons? We try to con our way into this and con our way into that. Don't we? "Oh, not me. I don't relate." What are you, some kind of a computer? You relate. We're all trying to kind of con one another, and we need to just recognize that and say, "Hey, radio audience, are you hearing this? Tape ministry, are you hearing this? We got to stop conning one another. And we have to face the reality of the Word of God." And start right at point zero with it too, by the way. See, it's a spontaneous, ever-flowing stream from the heart of Jesus, artesian well, always coming forth love. It has nothing to do with what you do or what you don't do. It is going to flow. Aren't you glad that you can jump right back in the forgiveness stream and get washed by the water of the Word? Aren't you? Oh, you're feeling mean and cantankerous. You're feeling nasty. Oof. You can jump right in the stream. You can get right in that well. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing this today? Lock all the doors and windows. No one else is going out. Should have went tutty before you come in here. How many are hearing this? It's a spontaneous, artesian-like, always welling up, never running out, love. God, I'm so glad it doesn't run out. Because if it would have run out, it would have ran out on me a long time ago. How about you? "Well, I don't know. I think myself to be a fairly nice person. I resent these remarks you're making to me today." That's not me talking to you. That's the Holy Ghost. An eternal fountain. I can't answer why Jesus loves people. You try to answer that? You can find out all the reasons why he shouldn't. Well, he shouldn't love them because of this, and he shouldn't love them because of that. Because if you say, "Well, he should love them because they're so righteous," that sounds kind of bonk. Doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like a gong? Spiritual gong show thing, doesn't it? "He's such a righteous man." No, that's a gong, isn't it? That's a tinkling cymbal and brass. Brassy sound. Has nothing to do with it whatsoever, your righteousness. The Bible says it's but filthy, stinking rags. Now, how do you like that? "Well, I've always thought myself to be a nice person and righteous in many ways. Golly,
not to brag or boast or anything such as that, but really, quite a nice fellow, righteous, and always been that way, somewhat. I've sinned in my life very little. Huh?
Filthy rags. See, if you don't recognize they're filthy rags, do you know what? You become blind, and you're on stage, or you're out there, you know, and you don't know you got filthy rags on. There you are in filthy rags. And you think you're righteous. And you can't see him, but everybody out there all laugh and say, man, he thinks he's something and he's nothing. Who do they think they're fooling? That's what people say. Do you ever say that to yourself and you get a glimpse of your rags and, ooh, wow. Hope nobody's seen that. And that's exactly what happens when we come under legalism and we get self-righteous. We are filthy, stinking rags. But I can't answer why Jesus loves people. Oh, I can. Because it seemed good in his sight. Well, that seems a good thing to do. And that's it. Did you want God to explain that? He just wants to, okay? I want to, I desire to, and I'm going to love you, you lump of clay. And he picks the clay up. Huh? I am going to do a work in this vessel. Praise the Lord. I'm going to put the new wine of the Spirit in this vessel. Long time ago, I read this. It's a fairy tale. Pinocchio. And I thought, oh, how Christ-like that is. What a good moral story that is. Say amen, somebody. Because Christ's love is the freest thing in all the world. Free as air. Free as the sunbeam. Put your cheese and crackers away, will you please? Free as the sunbeam. Free as the air. Now, aren't you glad that there isn't a meteor on your nose clicking away? And you might run out of quarters. See, that's the way God's love is. It's free. Do you want to have to go buy it? Isn't there a song like that? Because I'm free as the wind, my love. Because I'm free as the wind, my love. Free as the wind, my love. Free as the wind, my love, to serve the Lord. Huh? I mean, it's free. Think of it. It comes to a child of God without merit. And I believe in this respect, then, that it is better than wine. But also, Christ's love is better than wine because it is to be enjoyed without, what is that word? Cloying. Cloying. Without becoming sickening to the palate. I believe the very sweetest thing on earth, which is for a time pleasant to the taste, sooner or later nauseates the palate. Now, when I started working in my dad's cafe at about 9 years old, all the kids, wow, wow, you get all a cake and pie and ice cream you want, I bet, I bet. Wow, you lucky guy. And I was for a while, till I got nauseated at the smell of, Mom, I love your apple pie. And I'd open up the ice cream cooler and I'd gag, oh no, ice cream, huh? Now I would drink a half a glass of pop and I would throw it out. And so down here in the front aisle here, I'm going to give 5 pounds of chocolate to this young man. Here you go, young man. Here's 5 pounds of chocolate. Do you like chocolate? You do? Okay. Over here, I'm going to give you 5 pounds of ice cream. Do you like ice cream? You do? All right. And is there anyone in here that likes licorice? Oh, yes, over here. I'm going to give you a great big bushel basket. 5 pounds of licorice. What's that? You'll never get tired. You love licorice. You could eat it forever and ever and ever. Okay. Well, you go ahead on and eat while we go on with this message. Don't make too much noise. Okay, now 10 minutes have passed. We see him over here. Now, how did this chocolate go? It's all over your face. You're a mess. What's that? Where are you going? Oh, what? She got sick? Oh, okay. Over here with the ice cream, I see there's a half a bucket left. You over there with the licorice lips. Got a bellyache? Did you get a belly full of it, did you? Well, you might as well wear it as a necklace. You ain't going to ever eat it again. See, but the love of Christ never nauseates. You can't overload on it. Don't be afraid. I don't know. I don't want to get too fanatical because, you know, what if I got like Pastor Paul? Oh, God. One time before I got up to minister, a preacher got up and he says, "One thing I don't ever want to happen to me is to get like Pastor Paul." That was my opening. I mean, it's just kind of like, well, now where do I go from here? You know what I mean? And so the Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly whilst they are in the way. He was in my way, and I said, you know, I agree with you. Two of me would just be too much.
Amen.
God does have a way of humbling me. How'd you like 5 pounds of licorice? Boy, when we get the love of God, all we can do is say more, more, more. Sometimes I'm praying and I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost come all over my whole body, and I want to make it last, and I've tried to formulate some kind of a way of making it last, and as I try to do that, it leaves. Oh, no, come back, and I try to grab a hold of it, and it's gone. And so now I just, and it's on me right now, it's Jesus, hallelujah. That gets all over your whole body and you just keep right on, you keep on a going on and you keep on a going on, and you're washed, totally washed. And it's the love of God. And it's so wonderful, and it keeps washing you and washing you. And all you can say is more. More. Oh, I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I want more in Jesus than I ever had before. Whew. But all we can do is say more to God. I mean, is there any words to express a man's desire for more of the love of Christ? No, once he has tasted this rich and full and free love of God, it goes beyond expression. Love unspeakable. You cannot speak of it. It's unspeakable. And of course it is a hungering and a thirsting after righteousness. And that hungering and thirsting after righteousness is not that you become righteous. You're hungering and thirsting after all righteousness, Christ, your righteousness. You're hungering and thirsting after Christ. That's what the scripture is saying. You're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after Christ. Some people take that wrong and they say, I am hungering and thirsting after getting right and doing well. No, hunger and thirst after all righteousness. Your only righteousness, Jesus Christ. And cry out, I want more and more and more. I don't believe any lover of Christ has ever said enough already. Have you ever craved to express your love to someone? And you can't do it? And you get lost in the expression, and all you can do is stand around looking sort of silly and saying, I love you. And they say, I love you back. Huh? There's no way you can express it. How many are hearing this? No way. You are bound in this body, and there's no other way you can express. Oh, you teenagers that have these heartaches. That's all I ever get is heartaches, huh? And you just love somebody so much, your heartaches. Did you ever have heartaches, Pastor Paul? You better believe it. Used to have 14 a day. I was in love with my teacher for 2 years. I was about 13 years old. She was married and she got pregnant, and I loved her all the way through her pregnancy, and I think I still love her. I couldn't do nothing. I would bust my pencils, and oh, I was so, I'd walk out of class and bump into walls and walk into lockers. I mean in them, and they closed the door and I'd stand in there, you know. But I always kind of had that thing, and I could not express myself. And so I think the love of God is undescribable. I mean, it defies expression. It defies it. I suppose you feel that when you look at your little baby, don't you? You love the little baby, and you don't know how to express it, and you squeeze it too hard until it cries. Shame on you. Then you find all the good spots to kiss the baby on the back of the neck. The best, by the way. I'm an expert. Right in the nape of the neck. Lay one on, see if I ain't right. They're all powdered up, and they're all sweet and cuddly and everything, you know, and you just... Isn't that right? You don't know what to do with them. You love them. But how do you express that? Well, sometimes you buy them a football when they're only 2 weeks old, you know. That seemed like a good idea at the time, but you put it in the crib and the kid ain't got no room in there. Little bassinet. So we try all kind of corny ways to express our love. And we just run out of ways because there's no way of expressing it. And we get cards that have all kinds of things and sayings on them, and everybody doesn't say it. Does not say it. How can you express it? How can you tell? How can you just go ahead and say it? It can't be said. It's something on the inner person. It's so precious. But that song, I Want More of Jesus, More and More and More, I believe that was written by someone who had tasted of God's love. And he said, more and more and more, huh? You might be around somebody that you love so much, your wife or your husband or your kids, friends, huh? And you don't know how to express your love for them? Is that right? Isn't that right, Randy? I see Randy, and I don't know how to express my love for him. Or Brian. Huh? Or Rick. So it's hugging time, and we just go. But that doesn't do it. There's only one way that's going to happen when you get up to heaven. And you're going to get in the flow of the pure flow of the Spirit of love, and you become like Him because you are like Him because you see Him as He really is. And as you see Him as He really is, you see yourself as He really has made you over. And I want to tell you something, when you get to heaven, when the love starts ripping loose, that's going to be something, ain't it? No, you poor drunkard out there. Put away that cup of the devils. It will never satisfy you. But Christ's love, oh my God, Christ's love, it will wet your appetite. If you had an ocean full, you'd just be wetting your appetite. Because you can only desire more and more and more. But Christ's love is also better because it has no lees. Well, what is a lee? A lee is the bottom of the barrel of scum. It has all the wine's impurities in it. It drops down, the sediment drops down into the bottom of the barrel. I mean, I'm saying it's liable to corruption. There's always some scum on top. There's always some sediment that must settle, and there's always something that needs to be fining down. And so it is with all the joys of the world, isn't it? There's a little scum on top. Once you get past the scum, you can have a good time if you don't die in the scum. There's always something that must be settled in your conscience. There must be a deadening in your conscience with a worldly joy, for the most part. And so you have to settle it down. You have to fine it down. You have to fine-tune it so you can get in between the scriptures and just dance in between them. There I kept that. Very good, huh? I didn't break any of the laws. Well, you walked over the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. That's what you did. Amen, somebody. Woo, see, so it is with all the joys of all the world. Because anything outside of the love of God and the Lord's love is worldly wine. And I'm just using that as a contrast today. I'm not lifting up wine. Because there's always sure to be something in them that makes and mars, I should say, the perfection. Always. Are you hearing this? I mean, men are always seeking after inventions of pleasure, aren't we? And amusements and delights, and we're always finding ways to make us more happy. A bigger, a great big, sort of a ride, some kind of a ride. Some guy out here is spending, I think it was, I don't know, this could be right or not, was it a $50 million or something on some kind of a dumb ride? Does that sound like too much? Oh, not enough? Okay, $100 million, whatever. Sorry. But look at the state fair out there now. Four or five of these. Whee! Another. Whee! 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 And they open the gate, and out you get out of that thing, and you walk through the sawdust towards four or five more whees. One ride after another, one Pronto Pup after another, one cotton candy, and a couple of Pepsi Colas later, or Coke, whatever is your desire. I don't want to get into a fight over this thing. Your reward? Sore feet, and a gut ache, and a headache, a backache, and bawling kids, and a mad husband. 4 miles of walking towards a car. That's the fun wine of the world. So if you're